The Psalter lesson for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is Psalm number 40. Listen to this psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and give respect and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is written within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. But let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. For evils have encompassed me without number. My iniquities have overtaken me until I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let all those be put to shame and confusion who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. This is the word of the Lord. Over the Christmas holidays, my family has a tradition. We always find time to go out to a movie and dinner. We've done it for a lot of years now. Family gathers. We discuss. That means argue a little bit as to which movie we're going to see. And then we see it together. And we all enjoy it. It's a good time. One of those times, we were in a multiplex theater. And we saw a little boy wandering around up and down the aisles looking for someone. Obviously, he was lost. And the terror and the panic were beginning to grow. And he was struggling pretty hard to keep himself together, to keep control. And in his best effort to retain his dwindling composure, when I asked him, are you lost? He said, no, I'm not lost. I'm just looking for my mom and dad. Well, I knew from the intensity of his looking that mom and dad were not in that theater in the multiplex. So we asked him, what show are you going to see? And his finding that he had found the answer to his problem, his mom and dad were in the next theater, the relief in his eyes and the return spring to his step made that evening for him a success before he ever saw the movie. Finding that he had been found was indeed the best part of his day. And we all experience that, especially during adolescence. Most, if not all, teens, whether they admit it or not, like the little boy wouldn't admit he was lost, but was. Most teens are terrified because of the emotional and physical changes brought about by adolescence. don't sum up, like my dad told me, we all grow up the same way. That really helped me when he said that. It let me know that I could ask any question I wanted to. And I found out that he understood. And then I figured out that maybe if he lived through it, I might too. And it was a real relief to find that I'd been found. And then there's the rest of life. Adult, young adult, middle adult, old adult, post-teenage, sometimes child, sometimes retirement. All the time, we need to find that we've been found by God. And it is in that relationship to God, where we are saved by grace through faith, that we will continually find that we've been found by grace. If we look closely, we can have the very same joy and relief that that little boy in the theater had when he found that he had been found. We can be found by grace. We can acknowledge it with our obedience. And we can discover in that real meaning and real purpose in life. It's in that psalm. Now, if you read that psalm in the King James, it's always beautiful in that English language. If you read it in the Revised Standard Version, the translation is very precise. If you read it in a book by Leslie Brand entitled Psalms Now, I've used that here before with other psalms, you get the real feeling of the psalm. So listen to the first part of the psalm. It's found in Psalms Now. It's the same song, just different words. I searched long and shouted loud for God. Finally paid off, and he responded. He reached into my pathetic emptiness and planted objective and purpose there. Now I feel like singing. There is genuine meaning for my life. And maybe I can sell others on this concept of really finding themselves in God. Those who are thoroughly fed up with the fly-by-night objectives of this ephemeral existence, who will look to their Creator and seek out His will for them, they will find something to sing about. There is love and concern there, and meaning and purpose, far more than one can possibly imagine. This psalm says, is look for God's grace. It's what I said in the children's sermon. Open the box. Sometimes we look patient. Sometimes we cry for it. But if we look, the psalmist says, we will find that we are or we can be receiving the very grace of God. The psalmist warns not to accept any substitutes. The Revised Standard Version of that psalm says, the proud, those who go after false gods, are making a grave error. In other words, there's no match for God's wondrous deeds and his thoughts. Today we have proud answers. We have false gods. They're always offering to interpret life for us. There are those who always tell us arrogantly that if we would be like them, rich and famous, then we would know what life is all about. So, play the lottery. Dream the dream. Work a little crooked. Desert some values, but get rich, and then life will be all that it can be. Does that sound like anybody we would want for a best friend? Anybody we could or would or should trust? Only an unlimited worthy of unlimited trust, and half trust is no trust at all. And it is with Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension that you and I have learned more about grace than even the author of Psalm 40 knew. Well, how do we respond to that? How can humans be grateful to God? We can't pay him back for his grace, but we can respond to it. We can open the box. By this time, you know that children's sermon was for all of us. Open the box. We can't burn that. We can't ignore it. So what are we supposed to do? Once again, listen to Psalms now. Our God is not looking for genius. He does not require great talents. He's not charmed by our panic-ridden activity. He simply asks for our faith and for our obedience. It was when I turned from self-seeking to embrace his will for my life that I discovered serenity and security. Thus I'm compelled to express in word and deed the glad news of God's love and concern to anyone who will listen. And the Lord knows that I've honestly tried to do this. My frailties and my failures are many, but I'm not cheated on this score. I have proclaimed the salvation that God offers to all. See, that's the basis for real mission effort. We are not trying to put our relationship with God in order by doing things for him. That would be payment in kind. And you can't pay for grace. We never stand face to face with God on our own. It is only with the merits of Christ, given to us graciously by God, that we approach him. And in that faith, we respond with service or with gratitude for grace, because it's already been given. Our responsibility, then, is not some sort of a heavy burden. Then our response becomes a kind of a joy, activity, lived within the will of God. And that's a life of service, life of obedience. It's not burdensome, but it has a rather surprising result. We find out then that that's where purpose and meaning live. We also find that our troubles are not over. Don't you get a little disgusted by those religious types who come along and tell us that if we'll only do this and that, just like them, then our lives will be wonderful and easy and so simple. That's not the way it is. For example, be very careful when someone says to you, or you say to someone, pray about it. Now, I believe in prayer. I'm all for it. But we must not tempt God to just do this or that, just to show off, just to convince us that he's real, just to solve our problems our way. That use of prayer is not faith, it's not trust, it's not relying on God's grace. Listen again to David in Psalm 40. My sin-permeated nature still plagues me. I still feel overwhelmed at times, overwhelmed by my faults and my fallibilities. I'm disturbed, I'm depressed, when others fail to understand or accept me. I need to rely continually on the grace of God. You see, it's that reliance on God that God desires from us. He tells us, open the box. You see, it's our faith in his offer of grace. The solution to whatever is troubling us or concerning us may not be the solution in the form
form we wish for, or hope for, or even prayed for. But watch the results of God's salvation and His solutions. They change us. They change others. Our concern shifts to be the very concern of God, and we discover His ways and then make them ours. We turn enemies into friends. We find meaning and reality in places we never expected. If you want to listen to someone about this, listen to Christians you already know and you already trust. Those are the accounts, the stories of grace that we can believe. Listen again, it's not important. God grant that all who search for life's meanings may discover such in a relationship of love and trust in you. They shall know your greatness and proclaim your praises. As for me, foolish and simple though I am, I know that God will never cease to love me. There's no pretense there. There's no pretending that we'll walk into heaven with our head held high because we deserve to be there. Rather, there is a kind of joy in knowing that others can find what we have found. As for me, foolish and sinful though I am, I know that God will never cease to love me. That's grace. Simple, wonderful, powerful. God gives the thought to you and me. God gives us the body and blood of His own Son. God gives us gifts we could never give ourselves, and He gives us each other, and He gives us each other's gifts. That's a good definition of church. So that no matter what and no matter when, we can always count on the grace of God. Therefore, when you and I are children of God, we can be counted on for obedience and sharing the same grace that's given to us. And then, like God, we become gracious. That's a very practical definition and application of grace. Being like God. Gracious. Remember that little boy in the movie theater? Remember the picture of his relief when his plight was discovered and he was returned to where he was supposed to be? When you and I think of God's grace, it's like that. On a grand, eternal scale. When we think and feel and live within the grace of God, it's finding out we've been found. Amen. Join with me in the prayer for blessing on the Word. Let us pray. Guide us.